This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And at the end of this very crazy political week, we are opening a window on the American voter. That's right, the confused, beleaguered, astounded American voter. And let's just hear it from them directly.
Hi, this is Ben Crump. I'm a 49-year-old insurance adjuster from Fort Mill, South Carolina, and this election has me anxious and bored all at once.
Hi, it's Kimberly Comer from Lincoln Park, Michigan. I'm a 29-year-old property tax assessor, and I just want to know where all the adults went in this election.
My name is Danny Urena. I'm a college student in Kissimmee, Florida, and I'm just thrown by what's going on. Are you afraid of me now?
Are you afraid of me now? We got these folks around the Takeaway Roundtable to assess how voters are responding to a week like no other in American electoral politics. You may not directly identify with the politics of Kimberly, Ben, and Daniel, but anyone can share in the kaleidoscope of emotions this week, from Super Tuesday to the Romney bombshell to the Trump dismissal to last night's debate and the upcoming primaries. One of you in Anoka, Minnesota told us, "Trump has me excited and scared all at once. The Donald could shake things up, which could make a great martini or explode like nitroglycerin." And that was kind of how our roundtable discussion started. Do you need a visionary to get change, or do you need some explosives? Kimberly Comer begins.
I'm planning on voting on Sanders, and I will be voting for him in the primary. But if Clinton ends up pulling the nomination, which it looks like she might, I really don't know if I could vote for her or if I would go vote for third party or what's going on. Because right now, everything I see coming out of the other side just looks like a storm of chaos and confusion.
Ben Crump, how about you?
There's a part of me that, just for the sheer show value of it, and possibly the possibility that Donald Trump would actually get in and force Congress to quit governing by obstructionism, because that's pretty much all they do now, when their only issue is to defeat the other party's issue, even if it's their own issue, that possibly that this would be an agent for change. But at the same time, I also think about, is this the guy that you want sitting in that war room making that decision when a drone strike has to come and his primary goal is to win, win, win?
But you're ready to shake up the system with a grenade named Donald Trump at this point.
Potentially, yes.
Daniel, how about you?
Well, I actually don't like burning down the system. I think that what could result from a Trump presidency applies to more than just the United States. I think it could also affect the entire world, and that's why I'm not really comfortable with him being the Republican nominee.
In the GOP, are you seeing anything that is familiar from, you know, what you learned about in school? You haven't voted that many times, Daniel, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I've only voted in the 2014 midterm elections. So what I'm seeing right now is that the rules have just gone out the window, and it's really confusing. I'm studying political science, and, you know, they tell us, okay, well, scandals lead to downfall of candidates. But for Trump, I feel like there's been material for scandal after scandal after scandal, but nothing's happened.
Why are you so resistant to voting for Hillary Clinton, Kimberly Comer?
I really just don't like her foreign policy. It almost seems like she's eager to get into more armed conflict, and that's just not the direction I think we need to go in. My entire adult life, our country's been at war. I mean, 9/11 happened when I was in high school, and we've been boots on the ground somewhere ever since. And I just think that needs to change.
Who can do that, you guys?
I'm hoping Bernie Sanders can.
Ben, Bernie Sanders, an option for you?
You know, I just don't think that I like a lot of his ideas and policies of what he's proposing. But it's one of those things, they seem so far to the left that you wonder whether any of them, they're great campaign ideas, but are there things that he could actually implement if he was elected?
Yeah, I agree with Ben. I don't think his policies are very feasible. I do think that Bernie Sanders would be much too isolationist. He would just sort of try to leave the world to handle itself while trying to focus on the United States.
Do we have three radicals here who want change but are scared as to how it's going to work?
I would say yes. I mean, from my perspective, we're so tired of seeing what's happened in Washington. And really, you talk about the government, it's not the government, it's Congress. It's Congress that is the issue for me. And getting that part of the system fixed would be a priority to me. Whoever thinks that they could go in and actually affect that change would be the person that would be able to get my vote.
Kimberly, I'm sensing that you could get Ben on your side with Bernie. Why don't you try it?
Well, he does have a pretty good policy of like reaching across party lines and trying to come to some kind of agreement and to negotiate. I agree with Ben, that's been missing in Congress. Nobody's willing to put down their party line and just talk about what the real issues are. I mean, I'm in Michigan. Stubborn. We've got the worst roads in the country, and none of our infrastructure is getting fixed. And while it's all well and good to help the rest of the world, I think we really do need to focus on what's going on with our infrastructure and what's happening on the home front.
Is the Republican Party in the way of this movement? You were supporting Jeb, right, Daniel?
Yeah, that's correct.
Wow, that didn't go very well.
No, it didn't. I was surprised because I thought there was a pretty moderate majority in the Republican Party that was sort of going to lead the party on, you know, into the future. However, it seems that the more conservative right wing of the party is starting to handle this election.
I'm hearing three political orphans here. You all three of you have no home. You're wandering around. I mean, help you each other find some way forward.
We can always just say, let's not do any of this and vote third party. But then, you know, then you have to worry about things like, okay, so then the party you don't want wins, and then they nominate people to the Supreme Court. It's really hard because I'm not a fan of Hillary, but then at the same time, I don't want the Republicans to be able to nominate another justice to the Supreme Court. So,
here's my kind of question as far as trying to find a path to a decision for all of us, for the three of us, is let's just go down the path that it's going to be Hillary and it's going to be Donald that are going to be running against each other for the election. Who do you vote for?
With real pain in my heart, Hillary Clinton, honestly.
Same. So. I mean, other than moving to Canada and seeing if they'll accept me, I would have to vote Hillary at that point.
Ben?
And I think I would probably lean the same way when push comes to shove.
And let's just reveal under like door number one, door number two, number three, who the three of you were supporting just a little while ago. Ben Crump, who was the candidate you were supporting?
I would say Jeb Bush, if no other reason, because of his track record. He seemed presidential, and part of what we're looking for is not the person who's going to make sure that my water system gets fixed in my backyard like you vote locally, but you're voting for someone who you can feel proud is going to represent your nation and the world.
So you go from very, very lukewarm over Jeb Bush to voting for Hillary with your eyes closed as a kind of response to an emergency. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Kimberly, how about you?
Well, I will be voting for Bernie this upcoming week when we have our primaries. I don't hate Hillary or anything. It's just she would not be my first choice as a progressive candidate.
And Daniel, how about you? You haven't had much experience in the voting game, but it sounds like your path is from Jeb Bush to where again?
To Hillary. Essentially, I'm just looking for more of a steady hand, a little bit of gravitas.
Now, on your way to Hillary, do you pass by Donald Trump and go maybe?
No, honestly. I actually have a little bit of a hard time as well with Cruz. I just don't like the obstructionism. I think that Hillary is more of a stateswoman than either of those two really are.
Has any of this this week, and we'll end on this, embarrassed you? As Americans with the rest of the world watching this?
I've been Definitely. Mortified. Absolutely. Just the kind of things you're seeing in Germany and in Mexico when they're talking about Trump. It's just really embarrassing because the message of division and divisiveness that he just keeps throwing out there just doesn't represent me or most of the people I know.
Ben?
I don't think I could have said any better. I agree with Kimberly completely.
Daniel?
I agree. It's reminding me a lot of a lot of the populism in Europe. Le Pen is the French party. Same exact rhetoric as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you're paying attention in political science class, that's for sure, Daniel. I'd love to find a way to get the three of you together on primary night. That'd be great. Who's got the better pad?
Wow.
I'm 49 and have been around for a while, so maybe me. I don't know.
We're all going to Ben's house.
Definitely. Something near the water there in South Carolina?
I'm on a lake, yeah. I'm on a lake.
He's right in the middle, too.
All right. Let's do it. Thanks, Ben and Kimberly and Daniel. I really appreciate you talking with us. Thanks so much.
Thank you. John.
My pleasure.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.